Each Thursday, we get caught up with Indiana men's head soccer coach, my great friend Todd Yeagley. Hoosiers, since we have last spoken to the gaffer, one victory, a big one, on the road to open Big Ten play, and a draw on Tuesday night with the in-state rival Evansville. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Glass. How are you?
Well, the train ride, plane ride, bus ride, however you got to Piscataway to kick off the Big Ten portion of the 2024 schedule. Road victories are hugely important. We talked about that last week. And your club goes into Piscataway and really had a good handle on a Rutgers team playing at home. Big Friday night crowd. Great way to get the Big Ten regular season started, my man.
It was. Yeah, I was really pleased. Performance, I thought, from the front to back was as good as we've had. And we got another gear still, but that was good. We had full control, created quality chances throughout, you know, kept a dynamic Rutgers team for the most part with limited opportunities. And, yeah, it was, and obviously to score the goal late, you know, the psychological elements, that's, you know, really important because, you know, we've had some tough ties and being able to score late without overtime, it felt a bit like an overtime win. And that's good for the group. I mean, you got to know that, you know, those goals that we've seen in college soccer, there's been some late goals around the country, and you just got to keep playing, keep believing, and make one more play. And we were able to do that with 3 minutes left, and we're able to preserve it. And, you know, the Big Ten is going to be so important this year with the conference is really strong. And two, you know, with the additional two games, it's going to be an unbelievable run to see how this plays out.
First time on the airplane this year, getting everybody together, a little bit of a new experience for some of your guys on that team. Going to a place like Rutgers, I don't want to say that there's nothing easy about anything going on. Was it a different tenor than, say, perhaps going to UCLA to start the season or anywhere different? How does Rutgers play into all this, or am I just overanalyzing this to death?
No, I mean, I think any, you know, road trips, we've been on the road, you know, we've had a couple road trips, but short, you know, going on the plane, getting a new environment. I think for our guys, because we've played there for at least our experienced guys, I think that's obviously positive. I think starting on the road at UCLA would have been maybe a more difficult challenge. We're going to have to do that later, but no, the guys, it was a really nice night. Rutgers field's in the best condition it's ever been. It played quick, really nice crowd. We had a lot of Hoosiers there too, which, man, we travel well. And so, yeah, it was a really, really fun night and one the guys really enjoyed. And we always say, like, those are building moments in the year. And to start off with a road win, the Big Ten, is important because it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a battle every match.
And how important was it as well? Your senior contingent provided the goal as Tommy Mihalik finished off Sam Sarver's pass in the 87th minute to deliver the knockout punch. That's plus 2 points in the standings, folks. 3 for a win, 1 for a draw. But you want your seniors, you want your most experienced guys. I think I read somewhere 75 starts for each. That's exactly what you need on the road to open conference season.
It was good. I mean, Sammy's been so dangerous. You know, it's just been that final pass. And, you know, he was able to find time. We had really good runs in the box, so Sammy really had like 3 options, which is what we want. And he chose the most available and the best one, which was in that case, the pullback. And Tommy, nice stroke, just kept it on frame. It's so difficult for the keeper in that moment because he's moving his feet. I think it went just beside him or might have gone through his legs. I couldn't quite see on the video. And again, just the excitement of scoring late, knowing that we've had a couple, you know, ties that, you know, felt like we had some chances and we didn't convert. So it felt great. And yeah, seniors doing it is great. And I do know that, you know, I'm confident this group can score goals. You know, I really am. And whether it's from a freshman or a senior, but certainly nice to have our seniors deliver.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer head coach, busy week last week, going on the road last Friday, winning at Piscataway, beating the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers a goal to nil. Indiana out shooting Rutgers 13-7. I think Rutgers only had one shot on goal as well. Defense travel, zeros on the score sheet are always impressive, Assess your back 5 or 6 for me Friday night in Rutgers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought we defended well. I mean, that starts up the field, as you know, two glass. I thought our pressure and our spacing, when we pressed, when we fell off, I thought our transition was good in kind of getting back, because they are very good in transition. And I thought we handled them well there. And again, the chances they had were limited and not that dangerous. So that was positive. So a lot of, you know, clean sheets, great. I tell the guys all the time, if we get scored on, we just got to get another one and not worry about it. But I do think it's good for the group to get a shutout.
Especially in league play to get things started. That 2 points could be awfully, awfully valuable down the road. 3 points for a win. Again, 1 point for a draw. No points, obviously, for a loss. So Hoosiers on the road in Big Ten play. To start things off, 1 win, no loss, no tie, 3 points, perfect. Back home, Tuesday night, Evansville's in town. That series has been going on since 1978. You guys have had the better of it, well, since the beginning of the series, but I would say a disappointing result on Tuesday night for as well as you played, as many chances as you created. Evansville, again, one of these goals that just kind of pops up out of nowhere. I know it's not the end of the world, and I'm not trying to paint that picture, but I thought the momentum from Friday would carry into Tuesday. It did for a while, but not for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the chances, I thought we could have had a bit more urgency in the first half, and yet looking back, we did a lot of good things and had a lot of good chances. We did. I just felt that we could have pushed it more and really try to get that second. And I said the whole before the game and at halftime, I said, all we need is the one, but let's see where we can do and get the second, not leave it around. Because what they do have is they have some special guys on restarts and in the run of play. They're a heavily international team, as most teams are these days, class. And I've seen them score some wonder goals this year. So I knew that they had capability of putting a strike against the run of play, and that's just exactly what happened on Tuesday. And so, yes, we are. That felt like a loss. You know, we won't get around about it, whether it's at home or not. When you outplay a team in the way that we did, you've got to find that second goal, just in case there's a fluke goal, a late restart goal, which they did have a chance when we were tied late. We had a couple chances as well, but it was tough. But you know, as we've talked, you know, throughout the season. You know, we won 2 titles last year and we're kicked away from the Final Four, and we're better off right now than they were last year this time. So we know what we can do. It's just every game that we leave points. In particular in conference play now, we leave points on the table. You don't have many opportunities. You know, luckily we have 9 more in the league, but we just got to make sure we take care of business when we can.
And the 9 more in the league – terribly important to have that first road win. I'll keep hammering that point home for our casual fans who do look at the record and think, oh, geez, what the heck is going on? But, again, if you win the league and if you win the conference championship, postseason championship, you're in the tournament. You don't have to get into RPI and do all that other stuff. 20 shots, 6 for the University of Evansville. Hoosiers put 6 on goal on Tuesday night, 3 for Evansville, the final one. Off a corner, you go end-to-end at the end there. It just seems like you're not conceding any normal goals. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I mean,
it's not fluky. It's just, it looks like it's out of nothing. And boom, it pops up, and I don't know. That's just strange.
Yeah, no, I mean, we worked hard in particular because they usually leave one up, and they actually didn't. And that, and our shape on the corner was fine. We weren't, and then it was really the repress moment when they got to midfield. We got a little out of sorts, and then one through ball. You know, we're 1v1, and I give the kid credit. I mean, that was a heck of a finish, and yet it just felt like there was nothing out of that until the ball left his foot, and you know that's disappointing. He is all left. We didn't do a great job of keeping on his right side. That he would have had nothing and we could have recovered and helped. But, you know, they made a play. And, you know, we've got to be able to make a play like that too when it's tight or maybe we're not having the most of it. But it seems like the other team is getting those, you know, deflection goals or kind of goals seem a little bit out of nowhere, right? And that's what you know, whether it's the Butler one, we have possession, next you know, whether it's a foul or not, you know, they toe poke it and they got a free shot on JT on a pose, and you're just like, how'd that just happen? from our own possession, Notre Dame, our throw in, we catch it, hear a whistle, it's their free kick, and they score, and you're just like, what's going on?
Yeah, so, first Notre Dame goals from outside the box, 1-on-3.
Yeah, and it was, if you're going to get, my goodness, those are goals.
Well, they can't all go in, can they?
Yeah.
In early in the season, right? We just take care of them now.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, class, it's we you have to always continue to look at performance, because over the course of time, that is going to prevail. If you continue to perform and create your chances and not let a lot of teams, I think that will be the way we build the confidence in the group that we will get results. And that's what last year's team was able to focus on, is that we were playing, again, pretty darn well in a lot of facets of the game. And again, last year, whether they were more self-inflicted a few times or not last year than they were this year, we let some games get away. And we had some tough ties that, again, felt like losses. A couple of our conference games to open, like, man, how do we tie that game? We had so many chances. The Washington game, we're pummeling them, and then they get one out of nowhere, and you're like, how do we drop that game? So, again, it gets back to, being more clinical. We do have to get better on our restarts, class, and that's 30% of goals, and yet we've been not able to generate the quality chances that we need to. So we need to do a bit of a deep dive there. What aspects can we be better at, and retool our restarts, because we need to be better. And if we can do better on the restarts, a little bit better clinical finishing, continue to defend well, the results will be there. And if we got to get a break, but you create those breaks often with the chances, and that's where, like, one of those balls last night is a deflection. Does it drop somewhere for our guy? Like, we haven't gotten the proverbial tap in this year. Look at Michigan in the semifinal of the Big Ten tournament. We were on them, and then the shot that Maloon got to finish it to win it was a tap in. But that was after a lot of good quality chances. But it was left for him. We need to continue to find, and the shots on goal, we really improved last year about halfway through the season. That was a big emphasis. And against Evansville, a lot of those chances, some of them were wide and low, so pretty well taken. But some of the ones that were not on frame at all, in particular high, we've got to be better at either shot selection. Maybe it's one more pass. Maybe it's out of our range to get a better chance. And we're going to look hard at that on video and tweak that so we can continue to score more high percentage goals.
Yeah, it feels like that you're oversharing in tight quarters in the penalty area, and then not taking those chances, but having a little bit more fun from distance. I'll let your what do they call that, the money ball staff? What do they call that? The analytics. I'll let your analytics team handle all that. Are you missing a clinical goal scorer, or are you waiting for one to pop out of a slump, a shell, or other things?
When you watch us train and you see the quality, I told you this at the beginning of the season, we have more pure finishers on this team than we've had in the last couple. And so I'm confident we do have it. I do feel it's just been the more the final pass that has been missed more than the finish. But I think there was a couple passes that Nessie, one in particular first half, missed wide and high. That was set up really well. I believe it was from Tommy, but that was a really good final pass, and we just blasted. And I think it was Weiss actually squared it to Nessie on a nice attack, and he was about 18 out. And I see Nessie score that goal in training. Like, that's when he scores, and he just tried to kill it. And he used it should have been inside the foot, hard. Kind of bending in the back post. Instead, he tries to use his instep, and it when you do that, it tends to kind of it can kind of trail on you. And he hit it high and wide, and that was just the wrong club. And he's young, but I see him do the opposite more in training. So, you know, we always said like Maloon, so many good qualities it brought us, but he wasn't like a true goal scorer in his clinicalness. Now he got some huge goals for us and became a key guy. And obviously our run, he was Mr. November and December last year. But when in training, you wouldn't be a guy that was scoring tons of goals. I see a lot of goals from Michael Messi. I see a lot of goals from Justin Weiss. Easton Bogard is more of a natural goal scorer. Three new players. And then we have improvements from Tommy, improvements from Collins, improvements from Sammy. And then you got Jack Wagner looking to go to goal more. And you know, you name it. I feel like the goals are there as much as we've you know, Ryan Wittenbrink was maybe a special finisher, Vic, of course. But I think we have multiple guys that can score, and it's just it hasn't been there yet. But I'm very bullish it can be.
And you have to be happy for Sammy Sarver to get off the schneid and get going as well. Yeah. We know he'll run through the wall. We'll know he'll run up and down the touchline until you tell him to stop 50 times. But how important is a goal for his confidence to see all that hard work pay off?
It's good. I mean, you know, he was definitely thinking about it, and I think Sammy's had a really good year. I mean, honestly, we always take the SLU game out for everyone. I think he's had a really – probably his most complete segments on both offensive and defense he's had. And, you know, it's just, again, his final pass, but he's getting in more dangerous positions than he ever has. And if he can clean up that last pass, whether it's the decision to dribble or, you know, play it early or just the technical, you know, efficiency, I mean, my goodness, his numbers will drastically grow. And that's for the group because we have imbalancers that can create openings. I mean, that's what you need. You know, and I think there's multiple guys that can do that. And that's, again, why I'm excited to see us be able to score goals. But at the same time, you know, one's all you need. And we all know during the most important time of the year, that's all you might need or need to get because games tighten. So we'll see. But I think the confidence, seeing a goal go in, no matter if you're returning All-American as Sammy, it's good to see that. And I think once Weiss gets one and a couple other guys, I think everything will seem a little bit more simple. The composure will be there and you'll just kind of trust your instincts. There's a little bit of overthinking at times in the final third. And we got to have them trust their instincts, but play with good understanding.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer coach, joining us on a Thursday as he does throughout the season. Big game coming up with Maryland tomorrow night, Big Ten Network. We'll get to that momentarily. How settled are you on the lineup moving forward? We've seen a couple of changes since earlier in the year. Is this 11 that you've put out the last couple games the 11 that's going to stay there, or is this injury-based? Your thoughts on the starting group moving forward?
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to, you know, I think the center of midfield, you know, you still have a Jeffers and Hoyer that has done really well. And yet, you know, I thought Jack Wagner is got kind of the best chemistry with Patrick McDonald, but we have very capable guys. Seth Stewart's jumped in the midfield, but you see us substituting less in the middle. Early it was, we kind of call it forced entry just to kind of see what it looks like. So that there, I think we're getting a little more consistent up front. With everyone available, I think you're seeing, you know, the minutes for Weiss and others, you know, continue to grow. Bogard, someone I think you'll see a bit more of. I think Clay is a guy that can come in and help change the game. You know, whether we start Collins or bring him off the bench, I don't think the minutes are probably much different. He's usually getting, you know, 60 to 70 minutes. He might play the whole second half if he doesn't start the first. So it's really trying to come down with the right combination. And you know, whether we start an SC or we start a Collins, we always say you have two or three guys that are starting level players but don't start. And we have to think about our substitution pattern also for our size and restarts. So I think we're getting closer to maybe what it will look like. And then we got to rotate from time to time just with fatigue and you know, these games are going to come fast and furious. So sometimes we might start a game, you know, with a Seth Stewart like we did, I think, once already, just to get the tempo right, because he's such a, like, he's got the Maloon effect up top. So if we feel like we need that to start the game, we might start a Seth Stewart and then, you know, rotate him out, you know, after the first 15, 20 minutes to kind of use him to kind of set the tone. So those are decisions that we haven't made yet for Friday, but those are certainly good assets to have for us to rotate the lineup with.
And speaking of Friday, into town come our friends from College Park, the Turtles, Maryland Terrapins, Sasser Sarofsky, their illustrious history, the great rivalry between Indiana and Maryland. We could spend a week doing all of those fun matchups over the years. 7 o'clock, Big Ten Network tomorrow night. What problems do the Turtles present for your Hoosiers?
Well, I mean, they have quality all over the field, as they always do. You know, last year was a really strange year for them. Kind of everything went wrong, and I think they've kind of, you know, fixed some things, whether it's through new personnel or just a belief in a new season. Super well coached, as you know. I mean, he's got tons of experience. He knows how to push the right buttons. And, you know, the rivalry is fantastic, and this is the stuff that people want to come watch. You know, I think our crowd has been – I've been really pleased. Our students in particular, our community has always been supportive to us. I know certain nights are harder with kids in school. And so I think Friday night, you know, being just the start of a great weekend for IU sports, and knowing that the Maryland-IU rivalry is rich, way bigger than the Big Ten when it comes to the national scene, and knowing – you know, how important this opportunity is. I mean, you know, for both programs for that matter, but certainly the way we look at it is this is just an important 3 points that we got to try to capture to put ourselves in the next position for the next game. And it's obviously a great weekend to honor our new Hall of Fame member, Danny O'Rourke, which will also be this weekend. So it's a lot of cool tie-ins to our weekend.
And it's big because the next two games you play will be on the road against top 10 opponents, Ohio State and Wisconsin. So one of your first four in conference play of those 10 at home. I know there's no added pressure, but that's a pretty good gauntlet, Maryland, Ohio State, and Wisconsin here in the next 10, 12 days.
Yeah, really tough. And I've not seen Ohio State team dismantle Penn State like I did the other night. That was impressive. This is the best Ohio State team I've seen. Mays has them, you know, they're healthy and they're gelling. And Penn State's a good side. That was an absolute.
That was in University Park. That was at Penn State. 5-0 Ohio State wins.
Yeah, there was 12 or 13 corners in the first half. I mean, that's a good game. 12 or 13 corners. I've not seen anything like it. And, you know, certainly Ohio State had a little bit, I'm sure, of a little revenge. Their season ended, you know, at Penn State last year with the Big Ten tournament. Otherwise, they would have been coming to Bloomington to play us in the final. And then you got a really young, edgy Wisconsin team that, you know, they were picked last, which is really funny. They just dismantled UCLA 4-1. So, I mean, I've never seen the parity that I've seen in this league. You know, we know every player. We know these teams. We know the coaches. And there's no way in heck our own coaches can figure out who is favored or not. So it's going to be a battle. And Wisconsin on the road is really difficult. And they're having a great year. This is what's also great, Glass, is that all these teams that are winning, you know, undefeated Ohio State, a one-loss Wisconsin, are just amazing opportunities for us to get road wins to help our resume. So that's what's exciting, too, for our team, is that not only these are Big Ten points, but they're also great resume builders.
Different this weekend a little bit because there is no game next week, Maryland Friday, and then I believe it's to Ohio State Friday, if I have that right. So you have the week off. Does that change any way you approach the Maryland game, knowing you've got extra time to recover before that big road trip?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can ride some guys longer. Now, as part of, you know, really the Tuesday approach is that, you know, we need to have enough gas to get into Friday's game, and then, you know, there's no managing at that point. It's if we need, you know, Justin Weiss to play 90, he's playing 90, or Sammy Sarver, whoever it might be. We don't need to think about a Tuesday game at wherever, and you have to do that if you do have a Tuesday follow up. You can't keep running 90s every 4 days. You just can't do it with the amount of running these guys are doing. So it does allow us to play a bit different with our substitutions. We still might use them because we have good depth, but it won't be because we have to think about the next game, which is a a good thing to have from a staff standpoint.
Maryland, Indiana, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Big Ten Network. For those of you outside of the traveling area, tune in and watch as the Hoosiers open their Big Ten portion of the schedule, well, the home portion of the schedule, after defeating Rutgers last Friday night. Thank you so much for your time, my friend. Best of luck, and we'll get caught up with you before you hop on Interstate 70 over to Columbus next week.
Thanks, class.